Tonight, let's go ahead and jump into week two of our Wednesday night series, Vision, Every Day in Christ. Last week, we kind of began to lay that foundation. This week, we're going to continue to do the same. We know that our vision of our life in Christ, that is a very powerful thing. We know that our vision in Christ helps keep our spiritual fervor hot, helps keep it alive. It helps us to keep moving forward in our daily pursuit. It's what drives us to accomplish what God has placed inside all of our lives. And as we stated last week, I believe Christians ought to live with a vision more than any other people group in the world because of what God speaks into our lives. People who live in the present, not focused on the past, not worried about tomorrow, but each day moving with purpose in every step while envisioning greater days ahead. That's what this series really is about. Our foundational scripture was Proverbs 29:18, where it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Of course, you can see the other version up there in the message where it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they begin to stumble all over themselves. And that is so true. We've all been there. You don't even have to say amen to that, because I know that we've all been there. When we're not seeing what God is doing, we begin to stumble over ourselves. But when we attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. They are happy. They are joyful. They are at peace because they're doing what God wants them to do in their lives. So we know that vision, it gives clarity of purpose to our daily walk. Now, where I really want to focus in on tonight, again, as we kind of continue to lay this foundation, because in a few weeks, we're going to get very specific on some certain topics that really relate to the vision that God is placing upon our lives. But seeing the reality of where you presently are in life, and having an understanding that God desires to do a continuing work within you is of utmost importance if you are truly going to walk every day in Christ. Seeing the reality of where you are. I think most of us would like to think that we know where we are at in life. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I know there's many times we think we're okay, we think we're headed in the right direction, we think we're doing the right things, but in reality, we really are not sure where we're at. And it's because of a variety of things. It's not because of always rebellion, and it's not because we just don't want to know. There are many reasons that may put us in that state, but I want to tell you, if we're really going to be able to hear from God, if we're really going to be able to walk in that personal vision that he gives us, if we're going to be able to walk in that vision that he gives us as a church, we're going to have to see presently where we really are. We need to see the reality of that. So as we continue on tonight, I believe it is important to go back to the basic principle of what happens when you accept Christ into your life. And you know this, but let's revisit it here for a little bit. And that is a transformation of the old version of you giving way to the new, right? When you give your life to Christ and when you are in Christ, we know that there is a newness that begins to take place. You began to be transformed. We know the scripture well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that is so important. Whenever you're reading scripture and you see that phrase, in Christ, it is so important to understand what that word is telling you. It's all throughout Paul's writings, because in Christ, that's where you're going to find life. That's where you're going to find that vision and that purpose and the joy and all the things that we talk about. Matter of fact, if you're not living in Christ, you can hear the word of God as much as you want and nothing's going to change, because you yourself have to choose to allow Christ to work inside of you. Live in Christ. It says he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Paul's words to the believers in Rome. You know, well, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. But what does it say? Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So, riding with an anointing upon his life, we know that the Apostle Paul certainly understood how to give practical instruction to living the Christian life while also casting vision of what that looks like and the possibilities that are before you. So, tonight I want to spend just a little bit of time here in Colossians. Now, when we go to Colossians in chapter 1, we will see right off the bat here again, chapter 1, verse 27, he says it, Christ is in you. Chapter 1, verse 27, Christ lives within you. So that's where the transformation begins. The NLT says it like this, Christ lives within you. The message, the mystery is this in a nutshell, talking about the gospel, is that Christ is inside of your life. So he lets the believers know there in Colossae that for this transformation to really take hold, for them to really begin to understand the purpose and the vision that God's placed within them, they've got to understand, they've got to be in Christ. Now, he goes on to build on that in Colossians chapter 2, where he begins to talk about to walk in him. He's very direct. He says, so now that you are in Christ, walk in Christ. In other words, every day, wake up and walk in Jesus Christ. Walk in that relationship. In other words, don't just put him on when you feel like being spiritual. Don't just put him on when you see somebody from the church. Don't just put him on when you're at Walmart and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I go to church with them. I don't know their name, but I know they sit on East Side Assembly. They're over there. I see them. Let me tell you, don't all of a sudden do that. Don't be in the middle of just driving like crazy and you see somebody that you know. He's about ready to honk at him. You're like, oh, no, they sit in front of me. I can't do that. Don't pull him out when you want to. Walk in him, right? Now, I had a little fun with that, but we've all done that, right? You're like, oh, I better watch my demeanor, watch my character. I have to be super careful when I'm at, like, games. I don't anymore because my kids are grown up. But at basketball games, I had to realize, okay, walk in Christ, walk in Christ, walk in Christ. That referee is probably a man or a woman of God. Walk in Christ. You know, 5 minutes later, I'm like, what are you doing out there, you know? Michelle's like, don't holler at them. They shouldn't put on the uniform if they don't want to be hollered at. It's part of the game. But anyway, you know, I justified all over the place. I finally got to the point where, you know what, I'm going to sit by the superintendent because he's got to stay calm, I got to stay calm so we can keep each other accountable, you know. Sometimes that didn't work. Okay, anyway, we both get going. Walk in him. You continue on in that chapter, Paul gives us great advice. He says, be rooted deeply in Christ. Be built up in Christ. Be strengthened in your faith in Christ. Be overflowing with gratitude in Christ. Live free in Christ. And live in the fullness of God's power in Christ. All of that is there in chapter number 2. Now, when we transition to chapter number 3, Paul's teaching is filled with instruction while at the same time casting a broad vision of what our new life will begin to look like and the blessings of God in which we will be able to embrace. So go there with me to chapter 3. Many of you, this is very familiar reading for you, but think of it in terms of this as Paul casting vision to the believer of what their life begins to look like. Colossians 3, verse number 1 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I love how just in these beginning weeks of new year, God has taken the Sunday message, the Wednesday message, and they really just kind of time together because if you haven't noticed just yet, God is trying to get the church's attention and saying there's got to be a different attitude on how we look at this world. And it all begins of what we're looking at, who we're looking at, what our minds are upon. And again, we're just reminded of that here in those verses. Verse 5, it begins to cast vision of, you know, what's happening to the believer. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Your sexual immorality, your impurity, your passions, your evil desires, your covetousness, your idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked. You were living in them. But now you must put them all away. The anger, the wrath, the malice, the slander, the obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised or barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is all and Christ is in all. He's in every single one, regardless of your background, regardless of your story, regardless of your journey, regardless of how many of those things of that list that you were walking in, regardless of all of that, you are now in Christ, so you're putting all of that away. And he begins to cast that vision again now on what begins to transform. It says in verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, compassion for one another, compassion for people, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds this all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be grateful. Be thankful for that. And then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing with one another, with wisdom and singing the psalms and hymns and the spiritual songs, with that thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever it is that you are doing in word or in deed, whatever is happening throughout your day, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Powerful, powerful passage every single time you go there and every single time you read it. Matter of fact, you probably need to read that passage several times a year. Just read it several times a year because it's alive, it's active, it's moving in your heart, it's moving in your life. And can I tell you, it's powerful for every single one of us as believers, because remember, this passage has been written to believers, those whose lives are being transformed and renewed day by day. Now again, as he speaks upon this, it's very practical instruction for the believer, but I also want you to see tonight how he's just kind of casting this vision of what your life begins to look like. And it is, it's broad, because not everybody on there has some of these former things, you know, that's on this list. But what he is saying is our life is completely changing as we begin to walk in Christ. Paul's telling the believer, so when you wake up each day, it begins to look different on how you speak and how you treat others and how you serve the Lord and just your daily walk. That begins to look different. You're being transformed. He's casting that vision and saying, hey, you know what? By this time next year, things ought to look completely different, because God is doing an incredible work inside of every single believer. Now, absolutely, no doubt, Paul gives this perfect instruction and illustration of our new life in Christ. But again, in casting this vision, I want you to see something. He's not proclaiming that we will all be assimilated as exact replicas of one another. And I want you to get that tonight as I kind of bring out these familiar passages. He's casting a broad vision, and he's telling us your life is going to change. But nowhere in these passages does he say you all have to look like each other, that you have to sound alike, look alike, dress alike, have the same, you know, wisdom and knowledge and the same gifts. Because I think what turns some people off about church is that we're all been assimilated into this one group and we're all going to look exactly the same. You talk to one of us, you talk to all of us. Now, we all look to Jesus. And we're all been assimilated into the character and the nature of Jesus Christ, but you will still retain your uniqueness of who you are in Jesus Christ. I believe some people don't go after that personal vision because instead of looking at what Jesus wants to speak inside of you, you're looking at what someone else thinks you ought to be. Or you're looking at maybe someone else and saying, oh, I've got to be like him. I got to be like Pastor Steve. I would say to you tonight, please don't look at me. Yes, I know Paul said, follow my example as I follow Christ. So hopefully I can be a good example before you. But when it comes to your vision, don't try to take my vision. God has given you a vision to follow. God has given you a vision to speak. God has given you a vision to live. God has given you your family, your spouse, your children, your ministry, your gifts, and you need to look at what God has given you and don't look at anybody else's. Yes, there's character that's going to change, and a lot of that character is pointed in the same direction. Compassion, we all need to have that. That kindness, that goodness, that nature of Christ. That's a broad instruction that Paul has given to us. But don't take that and say, oh, we're just all going to look the same, because we're not all going to look the same, right? I'm going to venture out to say this. It may shock some of you, because if we started talking about all of our likes and dislikes, we're going to be pretty different in here, right? We already know sports-wise we're divided, right? We already know that. I mean, we got the Thunder out there. We're cheering for them. We know that. Boy, you know, I'm going to venture out to say we have some people that maybe have a picture of a donkey on their refrigerator, and some of them that have an elephant on their refrigerator. It doesn't matter to me as long as we come to God's house and we worship Jesus Christ, because I'm not looking at a donkey or an elephant. I'm looking at Jesus, right? I'm looking at, if you're not into politics at all, Democrat, Republican. And if you didn't know that, bless you. All right. Bless you. It's an election year. Let's pray about all that, but let's not get wrapped in and bringing all that in here. Let's lift up Jesus, right? Let's lift up Jesus. We'll pray. We'll seek the Lord. We want the best for our nation, but you're not going to hear me get political in here about what's happening this year because I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I'm after eternity. I'm after people's lives being changed for eternity. So we know that when we're looking at this, we're not going to be this exact replica, but we're going to be different. Yes, we've got the character of Christ, but I believe God has given you a vision that's tailor-made for you. Now, when you look into Scripture, yes, it says we are called into one body, the one body of Christ. But it also says that within that body, we operate in the uniqueness and in the specific gifts that God has given us. What does it tell us? One body with many parts. So it takes all of us, all of our uniqueness to get us where God wants us to go. So your daily walk, the work he is doing within you, the work he desires to do through you, the purpose that he's placed within your new life in Christ, it is very specific to you. God has given us all a vision that he would like for us to follow. So I will boldly tell you tonight, and I'm really not sure how far this is going to go, but I definitely believe when I was writing it, I thought, wow, God, that's really going to speak to somebody. You cannot walk in someone else's personal vision. If you're trying to walk in someone else's personal vision in which God has designed for them, what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself frustrated. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be full of doubt. You're going to be exhausted. And perhaps you may even get a little bit angry. That's what happens when you're trying to walk in someone else's vision. I can tell you as a young man, when I was accepting the call of God upon my life, I had incredible people around me. Rodney Fouts, who pastors North Church, my roommate. Kevin Fouts, you know, he was my roommate, and he pastors Discovery Church in UConn. These guys were amazing young men of God. And they set just an awesome example for me. I'd go with them, and they'd speak at different places, and I would find myself sometimes going, oh, man, I need to pattern myself after them. And so I kind of got to that place where I was watching these different individuals, and I was trying to maybe kind of fit into their mold. One of my best mentors in my life is Robbie McClure, at Mustang, and he was our district youth director for a while. I served with him for many years. He's still there with Jim McNabb, and I got to tell you, Robbie, he was funny, and I mean, he could say things that I couldn't get away with, but anytime I tried to be like Robbie, how many of you know I would fall flat on my face, right? But, you know, I saw these and I was excited, so I wasn't doing it to try to really be a copycat. I wasn't trying to do it because, you know, of any other reason other than I just wanted to, you know, try to find that best version of me. And what I finally had to realize is just stop for a minute, slow down, begin to pray, seek the Lord, ask him what he would have you do, and just be you. Just be Steve Lee. So that means, yes, I'm going to get the words wrong sometime. You've heard it. I've made up my own words during the messages. I mean, I'm going to spit. I'm going to do silly things. There's going to be some Muldrow Steve that comes out of me every once in a while. That's kind of that goofy side. Sometimes that angry side, sometimes that real animated side, you know. There's going to be all those things about me that come out. But if I'll just be me and walk in the vision that God has given me, I'm going to be okay, right? Just be me. And that's what I would say to you is just be you. As much as I was so grateful and still am for those mighty men of God around me, I'm so grateful that God helped me discover what he had placed inside of my life. And as your pastor, I want to say, because I think sometimes as Christians, we tend to back off on what God would want us to do because we begin to look at others and we kind of begin to say, oh, I don't know if I'll ever get to that point or get to that place. You know, I don't know if I'll ever be the prayer warrior that Kelly Hutchins is. I mean, you know what, I'd go, but I just don't pray like her and I can't be a sensitive. God has made Kelly who she is and God has made you who you are, right? Like, I think of Pastor Austin. I mean, there is no way you can put me in Pastor Austin, and there's no way you can put Pastor Austin inside of me. That'd be a fun day, right? I'm telling you why. God has gifted that young man with an incredible talent, an incredible voice, an incredible heart, and a compassion for God, and he just has to be him. And that's the same for every single one of us. Don't walk in someone else's personal vision. Also, I would say this to you very boldly tonight. You cannot walk in someone else's personal vision that they think they have for you. Think about that. Now, the first one was you looking at them, but now the second one is there's a lot of times when people, they mean well, but they're speaking a word into you that they don't need to be speaking because they feel like they've got the vision that God has given them to give to you. Let me tell you, that's dangerous territory because every believer has the ability to hear from God themselves. And if you are always waiting to hear what someone else says until you hear from God, I'm going to tell you again, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be angry, you're going to be exhausted. I'll tell you this, if you're waiting for the pastor to tell you what your vision is, you're going to find yourself disappointed. If you're waiting for someone to really speak into you, well, I'm just waiting for Pastor Jackie to speak in. Pastor Jackie has such a great word. She's so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When she says it, I'm going to do it. Well, as much as that's true about Pastor Jackie, she's not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you just as much as he does to Pastor Jackie. Right. Now, I know I'm using a lot of people tonight. Do I have to buy everybody lunch tomorrow? No. You guys buy me lunch. Okay, anyway. Because sometimes I think we start going in circles and we even just drop out or quit because we're listening to what everybody's saying that mean well, but they're just not quite on track with what God wants to say to our lives. Now, hear the heart of your pastor. God uses certainly pastors and elders and leaders and friends and those brothers and sisters in Christ to sharpen us. I believe that. We speak words into each other's life. There are prophetic words. There are encouraging words. There are strengthening words. So I'm not saying don't speak into each other's life, but I'm saying when it comes to that personal vision and that purpose and what God has placed deep inside of you, I believe, your pastor believes, that needs to come from your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if not, that's when you begin to kind of stumble over yourself. Your God-given vision is for you. What he's speaking to you in your relationship with him is for you. What he's speaking to you with your spouse, that's for you. Do not try to pattern your marriage after somebody else. Go after God in that personal time and allow him to speak to you what needs to happen in your marriage because you are the only ones that knows what happens behind closed doors. And no matter how much you share that with other people, God knows, and that's where you need to get that counsel from first and then allow God to confirm that through others. Amen? Get that vision for your children. Get that vision for where God is taking you. Get that vision from him. God speaks to all of us. Seek him, hear him, and then step out in faith. You must believe in the purpose placed within you and know God will accomplish what he's begun in your life as you daily walk with him. You've got to believe that. You've got to know that. That if God is speaking to your life, he will fulfill it if you will just follow in his steps. Now, with this thought, all of God's people are headed in the same direction with the same goal in mind, right? We all want to make heaven. We all want to be with Jesus for eternity. So yes, we all have that ultimate goal that we're all on the same page. But still, the journey there is unique and specific to all of us. Just start thinking about the stories in the Bible. I just come up with a few here, and there's going to be multiple. Paul, who we're using tonight, had a specific vision of what his life in Christ would look like, and he followed that. Peter had that specific vision on a couple occasions, one that was very instrumental in him becoming a part of helping the Jews and the Gentiles come together. Timothy, he would be the one who would pastor the churches that were founded by Paul. Go all the way back in the Old Testament, Abraham, man of faith, he stepped out and he became the leading example of faith. Isaac had two very different sons whose offspring is still very significant in our lives today. We know Jacob's story. He became Israel. Esther, it reads of her, for such a time as this, as she saved her people. David, his vision, he was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He was a king. Isaiah, man of vision. Ruth, an important piece of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Naomi, who was very much a part of that story, a woman of faith who had a purpose placed within her, and she followed through with obedience and compassion and love. This past Sunday, we talked about Habakkuk. He was a man of changed perspective as God had to speak a very specific vision in his life. All throughout the Bible, yes, we all have the same goal, but God works upon us in so many different ways, right? So I hope I am encouraging you tonight because as we're in this series Vision and we get very specific on certain topics, I want you to understand at the very get-go, yes, I want us as a church to have vision of where God's taken us, but I'm really speaking about you having a vision of where God's taken you. Where is God taking you in your personal walk? What's that next step? What does that ministry look like? What does that serving him look like? What does that compassion in you look like? Because when it says that you're going to put on compassion, okay, well, what does that look like in you? What does that look like when it says you're going to put on kindness? Well, what does that kindness look like in you? That's how specific I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. As we allow him to transform our lives, we'll begin to see that more clearly, and we'll walk in that, and we'll see God do some pretty amazing things. Now, as I get ready to kind of wrap this up tonight, for all of this to happen, again, I go back to my first thought. We have to really see where we're at, where we're currently at, and allow God to work in a way that whatever he so chooses. When we allow God to work in such a manner, to work with who we are and where we're at right now, that's when we really begin to see some change take place. When I think about this, I go to Isaiah. Love that portion in Isaiah chapter 6, those first few verses when he has his vision. Go there with me for a moment. Think about Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's just read those first few verses there again together. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne," has his vision, "high and lifted up." And he goes on and began to explain it. "His train of his robe, it filled the temple." He says, "Above him stood the seraphim. He sees that they each had six wings, and with two they covered their face, and two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They called to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So he's having this pretty majestic vision of God. Verse 4 says, "And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Then in verse number 6, it says, "Then one of the seraphim that flew to him, and having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.'" Then in verse number 8, it simply says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'" And that's when Isaiah made that very famous declaration. He says, "Here am I. Send me." Now, every time I go there, I see what a great example of how God continues to work in the lives of his people. Isaiah, man of God, he's already been prophesying. He has this vision where he encounters the holiness and the majestic and the glorious being of God. And as he has this vision, and I believe he's just in his personal time with God, I'm not sure where he was at and how this all looked, but he's just having a personal time with God. God gives him this vision. With this vision, he responds out of complete humility. And in doing so, he recognizes not only God's holiness, but in this moment, he recognizes his lack of holiness. Because God needed to show him something, because Isaiah was God's voice. God had an incredible plan for Isaiah. I mean, he would proclaim the word to the people. So God knew what he was doing, but he knew before Isaiah continued on in his prophetic ministry that he had to have this personal vision. How important for us is it to see that Isaiah, man of God, already going very strong ahead in ministry, needed to have this moment? That speaks to us, because that tells me that all of us need to have those moments with God along the way where he kind of recalibrates our thinking and makes sure that we're lining up with what he wants us to do. And that's what's happening here with Isaiah. So he recognizes God's holiness, but he also recognizes his lack of. Isaiah knew in that moment that only God could help him deal with his imperfections and bring him to the place where he should be. And so that transformation takes place. Notice here how I see it here. I put it on the PowerPoint there. Transformation taking place in Isaiah's life. God got his attention. God revealed his nature, his character. Isaiah feels conviction. And with that conviction, he confronts a personal weakness. Then Isaiah is cleansed, and then he is commissioned for the call that God has given him. Now, when you look at how that happens, that is powerful. Isaiah's vision he received in prayer propelled him into walking in the God-given vision for his life. And I want to go and say tonight, I think all of us probably need to have another one of those moments. There's nothing wrong with those moments. There's nothing wrong with that moment with God when you, in your spirit, just begin to feel his presence in a very rich way. And you begin to understand the God in which you are communing with is incredibly holy and righteous and majestic and glorious and powerful and loving and kind and compassionate and all-knowing. And when your mind really starts to go there, you begin to understand, okay, God, this is a pretty amazing moment that I'm having here. And as that's happening, God's going to begin to reveal some things to you. Now, it may not always be a weakness, but here for Isaiah, there was a personal weakness that needed to be confronted. And I'll go ahead and say it. I think there are many of us that need to go ahead and confront some personal weaknesses. Go ahead and let God speak to you in those, and let God go ahead and cleanse you in those, and let God help you in those areas, because what he's trying to do is get you to a place where you can be the best version of you. So as we get ready to pray here, I'd ask these questions. Is it possible that we need to seek the Lord once again and allow him to reveal himself to us, allow him to help us to see ourselves as we really are, and then allow him to work as he pleases? I think so. Is it possible that somehow we ourselves have hindered the transformation process within, and we just need to get back to allowing God to do what God wants to do? Is it possible that our lack of clarity of our personal vision of everyday walking in Christ is because of our lack of seeking and our lack of hearing and our lack of receiving? Is it possible that all that can begin to change tonight if we'll just say, hey, God, you know what? No more mask. No more ignoring it. No more rushing out of here. No more rushing around in the morning. No more being spiritually lazy. No more just, you know, kind of putting you on second or third place in my life. I'm just going to go ahead and throw myself out there tonight and say, God, here it is. You already know it. Would you speak to me in a way that really begins to give me some clarity in that vision that you've placed in my life? And if you do that, I believe with all my heart, God honors such humility, right? God honors that humility, but we have to sometimes just recalibrate, get our minds off of what we want, and just say, God, what do you want? When we do that, it works. It works every time, right? I talked to a lot of people throughout the week. You do too. A lot of individuals. We talk about things like this, walking with God, why things ended up the way they did, how do we get better, how do we get out of it, what do we do? And it all starts with your decision and how you're going to walk in Christ. Because you can come up with a game plan all day long, but if you don't wake up and walk in Christ, that game plan means nothing, right? I mean, how many times, again, here I am, the sports fanatic, you know, maybe not a fanatic. As the older I get, the less I care. But it's still fun to watch. It's an escape. Get the perfect game plan, but the perfect game plan doesn't always work if you don't execute it. Can I tell you, God's plan is always going to be spot on. You just need to recognize where you're at. I really feel this word is in my heart tonight to speak to you. Whatever you've got going on right now in your mind, do your best just to lay that aside, get it clear, and say, God, I need to hear from you tonight. I need to hear from you tonight. God will honor that.